Hello and welcome to the second edition of the Startup Talk Show. Today's guest is Mr. Van Vink, and we will be asking a series of questions, and then we will ask the class whenever they have other questions, as well as added or not.
So, welcome Mr. Van Vink to the Startup Talk Show, and to start off on the questions, where are you from?
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Johanna, for the invitation. Thank you, Mr. Coffey, for facilitating this, and Tristan at the machine down at the bottom there. Thanks for giving me the chance to speak with you. So I was born and brought up in Zimbabwe. Not many people know much about Zimbabwe. It's a small country just north of South Africa. It's landlocked. And a lot of people are surprised when they see me and I say I'm born and brought up in Zimbabwe. They look at my skin and they point and say, well, why don't you have a black skin? But that's how it is. I'm a white Zimbabwean.
That's really interesting. So when did you decide to get into education?
When I was at school, actually, when I was about 17, I was at school in Zimbabwe and we had an after-school club, like an evening club, where a few of the students would take part in educating some of the local rural workers who worked at the school, who wanted to further their education. In Zimbabwe, compulsory education stops at grade 7, and these were workers who were maybe working in the school kitchens or sweeping the streets, wanting to further their education. I'm from a family of teachers, really. My grandfather was a teacher, my mom was a teacher, and it kind of continued with me, and I've got three sons. Who knows, maybe one of them will become a teacher. But I decided then at about 17, I found it very fulfilling teaching people who wanted to learn. Not all my classes have always wanted to learn, but these young men and women were wanting to learn. In fact, some of them, here was a 17-year-old teaching a 50, 55-year-old to do science or to do English. It was very humbling, and they did very well.
Yeah. Interesting. So were you ever a teacher, or did you go right into administrative wings in school?
Definitely a teacher. I'm qualified to teach science and maths, but my main subjects are science, physics, and chemistry. I love teaching them both. They're easy to teach well, I find. And my goal always as a teacher was that I would be the type of teacher that I would have loved when I was a student. So I try to make my lessons interesting. Lots of experiments, lots of noise, lots of excitement, lots of interaction, but of course a lot of learning. So yes, I'm a teacher first, and then the sort of administrative part came a lot later.
So why did you move to Frankfurt, Germany, and why did you join our school?
So I moved from Africa at that stage. We were living in South Africa in 2008. I think that was long before you guys were born, isn't it? Moved to Germany, to the south of Germany, and I was working at a boarding school in the south of Germany for 3 years, and I saw an advert for a science teacher, a physics teacher, and a head of science at a fairly new school near Frankfurt, and I was in a predominantly German school down there and wanted a more international education for my sons. And so I applied for the job to come here as a physics teacher and head of science. And initially I didn't get the job. Somebody else was appointed. And then 2 weeks later, the head of school phoned me and said, listen, the other guy couldn't take the job. Would you still be interested? And there started a very, very long and successful career at this school. Yeah. That was 2011 that I came here.
So, what is your favorite thing about not teaching but being in the administrative part of schools?
I suppose it's two extremes. I can tell you without hesitation that the favorite part of my day is when I stand outside from 7:30 till 8 o'clock and I greet many of you coming in on your bicycles or on the bus or walking or with your parents or with a friend, and not just you in your class, but from the little ones, 3-4 year olds, right up to those who are 19, nearly 20. And the greetings and just the fresh faces and the excitement about being young and being aware of the opportunities that are provided to you in this school and in this environment, I think it really hits me every single morning. And I never have a dull start to my day, and that's very exciting. So not having to teach first lesson most days. I do still teach. I teach chemistry on a Monday first thing. But having an equal involvement across the whole school is for me really, really positive. But of course, being in my position, I know a lot about the school's development, a lot of what is going on behind the scenes. I have an impact in guiding our other leaders in the school. The school development, we all know that our school is a little bit small, and as we expand in numbers, the school will not be relevant anymore. And so, of course, the idea of an expansion, a move to a new place, or the building of a new school is very exciting. And so I can be part of that that discussion. And I think being someone who tries to set the tone in terms of our attitude to each other, our communication to each other, for me, I take that responsibility seriously. You know, I try to dress smartly, and then I can expect others to dress smartly. I get here early, I will stay as long as I need to stay, long meetings if I need to, but I want everybody to feel appreciated and involved and useful. And as a head of school, that's a tremendous privilege.
So moving on to the ATL skills, what do you think about them?
You know, I think with our diverse population, diverse cultures, and we have people who come from all over the world who have different upbringings, different family traditions, different beliefs, different customs, the ATLs, which are spelled out and written as part of what we try to do as an IB school, are really skills about being a decent human, and what we should all strive for. And so a couple that with me really resonate, I suppose. A social ATL skill is empathy. I believe that as an educator in an international school setting, we have so many nationalities, identities, traditions, beliefs. And so it's not just about accepting each other or tolerating each other, but it's celebrating diversity. And I think that empathy is so vital. That we don't just say, okay, I see you, but we engage with people who might look or behave or sound very different from us, and we can show our strength in our diversity. And a second one that is vital for me, and we're doing it now, and you're doing it so well, is communication. Because communication is not just about what we say, but it's about what the other person perceives or hears. And it's not just about the language we speak, it's about how we write, it's about our body language. I see that you are both looking interested, you're looking enthusiastic. If you were bored and your head was laid back, your communication skill would not be great.
Please come to reception to be picked up. Julius Ullmann, please come to reception to be picked up. Thank you.
That is fantastic, because our communication was interrupted there. by an announcement over the tannoy, and it's okay. We can pause. We can look at each other. A little reassuring nod from Johanna saying, it's okay, we'll cope. So all the time we're practicing these ATL skills. If you didn't have those skills, you would freak out. You would press the pause button. Tristan is sitting there as calm as anything. Hannah is giggling away behind the headphones here, but she's got it under control. So everything's good. Yeah. So what a perfect opportunity out of the blue to practice our communication skills. Yeah. So okay. Thanks, Hannah. Yeah.
What ATL skill do you think that your job as the head of school relies on you to practice the most?
Maybe I jumped ahead because those were the two that I feel, you know, empathy for me is vital. People go through ups and downs, and they have highs and lows, they have disappointments, they have successes, they have their own insecurities, they have their own family matters, and we don't always see them. Wellness is a big topic all the time, and to be empathetic to people, to see a little deeper than what meets the eye, I think that empathy is something which you can develop, and you know, I believe when it comes to communication, we have two ears and one mouth. I think that's a recipe. We should listen twice as much as we speak. So although I have to speak quite a lot, especially on this show, which is a great pleasure, I do try to listen. And we sometimes forget that our part in communication is not only the speaking or the writing, but also the listening and the reading and the observing. Okay.
So that is it for our questions. Does the class have any further questions they would like to ask?
May I ask a couple of questions?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah, there's a question. Do you want to come a little closer? Or if you say the question, I can repeat it if you like.
Where did you go in like the time where you were not in the school?
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I came here as a teacher in 2011 to 2019. So that was 8 years as a teacher here, and my three sons came through school here. Two of them graduated with the diploma here. Our youngest one left at the end of MYP5, and he completed his schooling back in Zimbabwe. I went back to Zimbabwe for 5 years. I was ahead of a school, the school that I had gone to as a student, and in fact where my mother had taught and my grandfather had taught, and I had started my teaching career. I went back there as head of school for 5 years, and then decided that I had moved on in terms of some of the attitudes in that place, and I was looking a little, and a year ago I got word that the head of school position at Strothof International School was being advertised, and would I think about applying, which I did, and December 2023 I came for my interview. I might even have seen some of you there. Yeah. Yes.
Do you think you did the correct choice to become a teacher?
Yes, I do. Look, I could have done something else, I'm sure, and enjoyed it and been successful. And maybe choosing a career is a bit like when you choose a partner for life. Okay, the partners both need to agree to this choice. But maybe it's a bit like marriage. I'm married. I've been married for 30 years, which is a long time for somebody to put up with me. could I have married somebody else and been equally happy? I don't know. Maybe. I don't think there's necessarily one person for one person in the world. I don't think there's necessarily one job that you must do and you'll only be fulfilled in that. But I worked as a farmer for a while on a dairy farm. I worked worked at university. I had opportunities for a range of directions. But yes, I do think this was the right thing. And I have a tremendous respect for teachers. Not for all teachers, because it is a position in which some people can be lazy, some people can be extremely committed, and most people are somewhere in between. And my role, I suppose, is to try to inspire everybody to be their best as a teacher, as an educator. But I love it. I love it more and more, actually. The opportunity to work with and influence young lives is tremendous. Yeah. But it affects you. Let me tell you. By the time I had children, I had probably already taught 2,000 students. Now it comes time to name your child. What are you going to call your child? Oh, I think I'll call him Andrew. Oh, no, remember Andrew that I taught? He was awful. Okay, what about Hannah? No ways, Hannah was a complete pig. There's no ways I'm going to call my daughter Hannah. What about Jane? You know, what about Coffee? Oh, Coffee, remember, Coffee was an awful whatever. And you go through these names. I'm making a bit of fun, but that's when you're working with so many people. Our middle son's name is James, and I've taught good Jameses and bad Jameses, and he's somewhere in the middle, I suppose. And would I have been a good teacher as a language teacher or an INS teacher or something? I don't know. I know as an art teacher, I would have been hopeless. Yeah.
Are there any further questions?
Do you want to... What's your question?
What are your hobbies?
Okay, I'll tell you. I love cooking. I do all our cooking at home. I play tennis. I love playing tennis. And I play competitive tennis a lot. I love the outdoors, hiking, camping, fishing. And I play the piano. So music is definitely a part of my hobby. Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
Do you play any video games?
Do I play any video games? I don't. And I'm often embarrassed if I'm visiting friends and they have kids who want to play a video game with me and please will you play, and I go and play and I am put way back in my place. Mario Kart, my kart is still trying to start down the course and they've lapped me and finished. Yeah, so I could always learn. Yeah. Yeah. Are you a video games person? Okay. Have you ever heard of Mario Kart?
Yes.
Okay. But do you play these dark games where you've got to kill everybody and everyone's your enemy?
Yes, I played that too.
Okay. Is there another question? No.
Okay, then that's all for today. Please join us in the next edition of our podcast, which will be in the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Mr. Van Wyk, for joining us today, and all of you have a nice day.
Thank you very much for having me.